Into the Realm. Hi, I'm Kate.
And I'm Rachel.
And I'm Hannah.
And this is Feast.
Sheath.
Shatter.
Is it hot in here or is it just me? Tuning in to hear these three chatting about fantasy. Novels of the spicy variety. Not your average book club if you know what I mean. Are you happy to see us? Or is that a dagger? It's Feast, Sheath, Shatter.
This one is a little bit unscripted. We haven't planned anything, and that's okay, because this book was wonderful.
It was. It was cute.
So we are reading, what's the whole name?
That Time I Got Drunk and Saved a Demon?
Yeah.
By Kimberly Lemmings. Yeah.
Yeah. So just like off the top, first, like, what were your thoughts on the book?
It was cozy, but not cozy and slightly disturbing in the way that Morning Glory Milking Farm was.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah.
I liked it. It was cute. It was fun. It was easy. It wasn't stressful.
I thought this book was great. It was very perfect for after 15 mm-hmm. books. Just yeah. chilling. I really liked the way she wrote the spice or the...
The hot, sexy times.
The soxy times.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed it. I thought I really liked the main character. I really like how there were a little bit of depth and a little bit more to the characters. And we did get a little bit of like emotional depth, but mostly it was just there was a lot of levity to it.
Yeah.
And I really liked how like sassy and fun the main character was. And it just wasn't heavy.
Yeah.
So it was very cozy.
But they still had, like, we liked A Morning Glory Milking Farm, but it had nothing but the relationship. It didn't right. have stakes. This actually had, like, we're on yeah. a mission.
Yeah. A little bit of stakes.
Yeah.
Right. But at no point did I fear that there was going to be,
right.
like, an unhappy ending.
No.
Just because of the levity.
Yeah.
I was like, there's no way it's going to be, like, overly dramatic. Even though we do get a little bit tragic of a backstory.
Yeah.
We do get a little bit of, you mm-hmm. know... stakes, but I think it's just to build our main character up. But just, hey, spoiler warning, we're going to talk about this book. It's a reaction podcast to a book. So
yeah.
if you haven't read this book and you want to read it, pause, go read it, and then come back. So, but yeah.
Yeah. As much as we can.
Professionalism. Yeah.
That's our tagline.
That's our tagline. Feast, Sheath, Shatter. A bunch of women, lifelong Shatter. Fantasy readers. Talking about professionalism, professionally reading about feelings and smut.
Hey, these get professionally published. They're professional books.
They are.
Yeah.
They are professional books.
Yeah.
People make money.
I had to pay money to get them.
Yeah. I had to pay money for this book.
She's one of those people that released her book, I think, on like Kindle Unlimited, and then it got picked up by a major publisher and re-released.
Oh, that's why it's not free?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. I didn't mind paying for it.
Yeah.
I liked it. I got mm-hmm. both for $12.
Same.
Nice.
Right. So, Cinnamon.
Yeah, Cinnamon is our main character. Cinnamon Hot Pepper.
Cinnamon Hot Pepper.
Which is such a cute name.
She's very funny.
And then her friend Brie, who's in the next book.
Right.
We meet right away, pretty much. Because she gets drunk and she like walks up and takes a bite out of a wheel of cheese at Brie's.
Yeah, they're at a festival.
Stall. Yeah.
Just like drinking, having a great time.
Yeah.
No problem. She's gonna drunk walk home. No big deal.
Right, because they did not get selected to be the
heroes.
The
champion.
Heroes of legend. Yeah.
Right.
They're like, woo, didn't want that.
Yeah.
Seriously.
And she's already got some resentment and a little bit of contempt towards those folks anyways.
Yeah.
Because her ex-boyfriend
was chosen.
And also because of the loss of her sister, you can tell that she was really affected by the loss of her sister.
Yeah.
You know, she's like, I'm not going to go anywhere. I'm not going to do that to my family. I do not want adventures.
Yeah.
To me, it's kind of crazy she's a human because she's really just a hobbit.
Yeah. Right. I was like thinking her name is Bilbo the entire time. Yeah.
I was like, really? Like, I love her emphasis and ability to just make an incredible meal no matter where she's at. Yeah. She's always got her customized spice pockets wherever snack she goes. Pocket. She doesn't bring her vitamins. She brings her spices.
My favorite line in the book is, "He slid my snack pocket to the side to graze my inner thigh." I went, ah!
That's love.
I was like, ooh.
Oh my God, I forgot.
Because she has a whole loaf of bread and a whole bottle of mead.
Yeah, and she has extra pockets in her dress. Yeah.
She's like, I'm going to get hungry.
And they kind of live, they're very successful farmers. They're like the Richie Riches of the town, which is really,
spice traders.
You don't really realize that until the second book, like the level of wealth that they have comparatively to everyone else in town. Hmm. But we've got this town. She sets up the fantasy scene, like the universe. I really like this universe.
Yeah,
I feel like this is the kind of universe that if I was in a fantasy story, I'd want to be in this universe.
Yeah.
No, we didn't even get into... Sorry. We don't even get started on Fallon. He is...
Get started on him.
Well, first, So just to paint the picture of the universe... They live in this little, like, isolated community. They have these goddess temples. They all worship this goddess who actually ends up just being, like, a manipulative, like...
Necromancer.
Societal propagandist.
Yeah.
So she's tricked people into thinking she's a goddess for 400 years? Long time. And Cinnamon's just working her cinnamon farm.
Yeah.
She farms her namesake.
Hot peppers and cinnamon.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And her mom is super cool, covered in tattoos. Covered in tattoos.
Is it in the second book where we find out that she ran out of room, so she started tattooing stories on her husband?
Like, I think so. That was the second book.
He volunteered space.
I guess we shouldn't ruin the second
book. I'm sorry. But it's not really a spoiler. Okay. Cinnamon's in the next book.
Well...
Sort of.
Let's give Hannah a choice.
I'm sorry, Hannah.
Give me a chance.
Yeah.
I purposefully did not read the second book because I didn't want to get confused during this podcast.
I'm done. That's the closest I'm coming to a spoiler the entire time.
We've got this neat little universe. She's walking on the... When she's walking home drunk and gets attacked by, like, Buddy Schmuddy from down the street.
And she's like, no.
And he's trying to be scary.
No. He's like, go the fuck home.
Yeah. He's like, ugh.
Actually, I'm going to beat your ass for this. Like, you need
it. What do you mean, sin? Like, she's like, you know my name, bro. Like, you can't have my sunflower cloak. This is mine. Leave me alone. Yeah, this giant noise in the woods. And of course, she's like, oh, let me go see what's going on.
Well, she chases him. She chases
is that
after
what
the
happened?
Guy.
Yeah,
and then she ends up in the woods and she investigates the noise. And it's a guy trapped underneath like a tree or rubble.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And she's immediately like, oh, hey, he has the horns right away?
Not right away.
They grow back. Weren't they like snapped off?
Well, ooh. He can appear to be human.
Oh, he can?
He just doesn't. He does it like one, like at the very beginning. And then after that, he's
like I'm done. These are my horns. Yeah. Look at them.
Yeah.
Look at them. Grab them.
Pulls them out. And he's like, I'm going to get you.
Handlebars. Yeah. And he's like, I'm so sorry that you're my savior and I'm going to have to get you. She's like running around, running away from him. And then they end up in her crops, which she, you know, takes care of on a daily basis, like her part of the family business.
Yeah.
It's the family business. And do you know what I'm referencing?
No.
Oh, Supernatural. It's fine. Moving forward. But and then he gets poofed in the face.
With a cinnamon stick.
Like, I imagine it like a poof. Like, I'm trying to think of like a cartoon or something where it's just like, boof, you know, and then like a love potion a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And then,
he's like, hold on.
Yeah, and then there's like really no mystery. She goes home, tries to tell her family what's happening. And they're like, I don't know why you're a liar.
Yeah.
There's no demons here. They don't come this
far. Why are you lying, Cinnamon? Like, what's the point? What are you getting at? And then he
you're
just
drunk.
Like,
you're
and then
still
he's
drunk.
Just like, doot, doot, doot. Hello there.
Well, he's in the window. Isn't he in the window?
He looks a lot like this.
He's just standing there.
Like, oh!
And our family, they're just having a lovely breakfast.
Yeah. Because I wanted cinnamon rolls from then on.
I cannot. The snacking in this is so on. Like, I just love snacks.
I do love snacks.
I love a snack pocket. I like to pack a snack everywhere you go. You know?
Yep.
So he shows up and starts laying out the truth.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know?
He's like, I was a little bit crazy. This happens to us every 15 years. We fall under Mavis' spell.
However you say it.
And like when you whacked me in the face with the cinnamon, it broke me out of it.
Right. I wasn't he's kind of apologetic. He's like, I'm sorry. I wasn't really trying to chase you, but and that's when they learn and nobody believes him. And Cinnamon is so like immediately like, yeah, no. Get out of here with your spews of lies.
Take your demon ass out of here.
No, we're not falling for your shit. Can you get out of here? And he's like, hello. He likes her.
So how does he convince her to go to their temple?
Her family. Doesn't he threaten her family?
Makes sense.
Kind of.
He doesn't really have he's not really socially prepared to have that much proximity to humans yet.
He's still very direct.
Yeah, still living on them demon social standards.
Yeah.
Which is, I will kill you if you comfort me.
Yeah.
You do not deserve to live.
Do what I say or die.
The running gag of ripping people's arms off was hysterical.
I loved it. I loved every minute of it.
Every time it happened, I was like,
I'm going to tear your arm off don't.
She's like, what is it with arms and you people? Why do you keep ripping arms off?
Why are you doing that? Yeah. It's just so easy.
I guess.
So then he convinces her to go to the first temple, and he thinks he's just going to be like, psh, 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 done. Wipe his hands of
he's
it.
He's like, oh.
Yeah. We're going to just kill this lich, which is a necromancing demon witch. Yeah, not like a demon.
A necromancer.
A witch, yeah.
Do they use that word?
They use necromancer.
They say they call her a lich a lot.
Yeah, they call her a lich.
Lich, which I hadn't heard. Okay, let me talk about the word that threw me for a loop.
Let's hear it.
And I still don't know what it means, and I meant to look it up on the way over here.
I can't wait to hear this.
Phylactery?
Oh.
Isn't that a place where you put relics?
I don't know.
I think it's a place where you put
relics. I don't
relics.
Know that word. All I hear is phallic.
No, a phylactery is where you
so
put
So I was
relics.
Like, is this like the penisery? Is this where we keep the penis?
Because
I hear phylactery, and I'm like, phallus?
Oh, okay. No, I would not put it.
Wow, I don't even remember hearing that.
I wouldn't put it out of the range of Kimberly Lemming to use it because it sounds like phallus, but I'm pretty sure it's where you put relics.
Okay.
Like religious relics. Okay. Yeah.
I feel like it's a word I should have in my repertoire since I read so much fantasy.
Yeah.
But it was a new word for me, and I thought about it on the way over here. I was like, I really need to Google lefactory.
I don't have my phone or I would look it up.
Lefactory.
I have mine. I can bend it over.
That's fine. We'll just be wrong on the internet. That's never been a problem before.
My force will never work.
How many hours I've spent
just trying. Every single time I walk into a grocery store, every time, or a Target, if you have automatic doors.
I go like this.
Yeah, I just straight up.
Kate and Hannah are making force gesture motions.
Yeah, because that's how I do it. And I just hope that, like, the fantasy in my mind is that somebody sees me and goes, yeah, magic.
She's magic.
She knows how to open
she
the Target
is
door.
A Jedi.
Yeah. She is. Look at her mind tricks. They're so evolved.
Yeah.
Sorry. I just didn't want to bend over. It's just technically fun. You could have just told me. I'm so
okay. Selfish. I'm sorry.
Okay. I should have done the work.
Okay. It is a vessel created through an arcane ritual to bind the soul of a powerful wizard or dragon
to a dick
from traveling to the outer planes after its death. So it's a Horcrux.
Oh. A phylactery?
Yeah.
What? Whoa, 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 whoa. Is that Webster Merriam's?
That's what it is in reference to a lich.
What? Okay. What did you Google and what is that source?
Okay, that one is Forgotten Realms Wiki.
Okay. Forgotten Realms, is that a fandom?
It's like
a universe?
It's like a Dungeons and Dragons thing.
Ah, yes. Supreme authority. Yes. Understood.
On like liches. Now, if you're just talking about phylactery, like not a lich. It's a small leather box containing Hebrew texts on vellum worn by Jewish men at morning prayer as a reminder to keep the law.
Okay.
That's the Merriam-Webster one.
Okay. I like the first one better.
Okay, feels so more that's what they're breaking at each temple is
like a little horcrux.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Four horcruxes at each temple.
Yeah.
So they go and they easily break it, and she's convinced.
It's so easy.
It's fine.
They have such...
And he's like, that was great.
This is so funny. I would like to point out the reverse roles in this. Because if Sarah Janet had written something that was this easy, this would not be the tone.
Well, because I'm not coming to...
Those aren't the expectations.
I'm not coming to that time I got drunk and saved a demon expecting...
Exactly.
So, like there to be a lot of
work. Filet mignon hamburger.
Yeah. McDonald's. You're not going to McDonald's expecting it to be
filet mignon.
Filet mignon.
Yeah. If I'd gotten filet mignon at McDonald's, I would have been pleasantly surprised.
Yes. Understood. Yeah. Okay.
It's when I'm coming to the book, the expectation I'm coming to the book with. And I wanted
hot dudes
and spicy stuff. And one I got hot dudes and spicy stuff.
So. Yeah.
Yeah.
One expectation to rule them all.
No. No, there's tears. Everybody has tears. It's fine. Like tears of expectation.
Tears, not cries.
No. Not for this, not in this book.
No, yeah. So then he realized he's like, oh, shit.
She's like, well, that was one down, three to go. And he's like, what? She's like, there's four temples.
Yeah, this is the southern one. We got to go to three more. And he's like, and then he's like, okay, little hobbit lady, you have to come with me. And she's like, okay, well, I got to go pack. And that's when she packs up all her.
Like a buggy.
A snacks.
Yeah. Yeah, they take a wagon.
Yeah.
He's like, you can't possibly need all this. She's like, I'm not eating unseasoned food on the road. I'm
sorry.
That horse is no excuse.
Her ability to
smash and crash.
Her horses. Y'all, there's a part in the book that I don't know whether I wasn't listening or like what happened, but.
When her horses became
flying Pegasus. Horses. Yeah, can you explain?
Yeah, that's like, when they go to the next temple.
Like, things happen so just, like, nonchalantly quickly. Yeah, it's like a couple sentences, and it's just like, yeah, he doesn't have an arm anymore. He got his arm ripped off. I had to, like, go back a couple times because I was like, wait, who ripped his arm off? Must have been Fallon.
Probably Fallon. Yeah. No, they get that when they go to the next temple because the next temple is, like, her temple is, like, a cave with a bowl in it because it's just Boo-Hail. And then the next one is in, like, New York City. It's in, like, a big town.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And that's where they get Felix, right?
Right. And so there's, like, wizards and stuff that live there, and they make potions for sale. So they're, like, developing a flying potion. You hear two people talking about it. They're like, oh, we almost got the flying potion working. And they drop it when they attack the phylactery.
Who drops it?
One of the wizards drops it. There's, like, a green cloud, and the horses get in it, and that's how they get...
They turn to Pegasus. Yeah. I missed it.
That's awesome.
And then later in the book, I was like, the horses can fly now? This is incredible.
Do they have wings?
I was waiting for it to wear off, but it doesn't wear off.
One doesn't.
No.
Yeah. Oh. And that is, in that city, they have learned. So one of the things, the magic, the cloudiness of the magic of Maiva's magic kind of creates... I mean, we're kind of enslaves the demons a little bit.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
Like, when Felix describes, I don't know if he does it in this book, but, like, he describes the fog as, like, you just don't remember. You're just, like, not there.
You're in, like, a dark room.
And there, everybody in there, all these humans are treating these demons, or just, like, all these races of creatures as, like, pets.
Yeah.
Yeah, they have collars. They have
to be registered.
Yeah.
Like a flea
You can
tag.
Buy and sell
and
them.
They're selling, like, werewolf pelts.
Yeah, it's gross. It reminds me of how Farah cut off that fucking wolf pelt, and it was actually just, like, a skin.
Yeah.
That bothers me a little times. Sometimes I think about that.
Yeah.
Sometimes I think about that.
Yeah.
Wearing
a that poor little man.
Did they eat the wolf?
No, I don't know.
No, because she couldn't carry both animals.
She couldn't carry
So she just skinned him.
So she skinned him for the pelt. Yeah. Left his naked carcass.
And he just, you know what he did? You know what he did, guys?
What?
He saved everybody. Saved Prithian.
Saved
he saved
Prithian.
He saved Aelin. Because if hold up.
Oh God.
Hold up.
How did we end up here?
I don't know. How did this happen?
Werewolf pelts.
Apologies. I have a friend that reached out today who's just interested in ACOTAR. She goes, Kate, have you this is like a really good friend of mine, y'all. She said, Kate, have you heard of this ACOTAR book? And I was just like,
yes.
Carissa.
Yes.
What? Do you not listen to me? I mean, it's just what happens.
No one listens to me.
No one.
Like, literally, no
one listens to me. I'm like, let me send you the fucking podcast. Anyways, hopefully I'm
again.
yeah. Or, anyways, back to this book. So we're in the city and she saves Felix, the werewolf. Does she buy him?
Yeah, I think she buys him. Yeah, and the guy's like, because she
gives
bargains.
Him a deal.
She gets
bargains, a deal.
And then the guy's like, this much, and I'll throw in this Lamia.
Snake.
That I got.
Snake.
She's like, whatever that is, that's fine. And so he comes out, and he's like a 7 foot tall half snake guy. And she's like, oh, shit. But she just hits them both with cinnamon, like wakes them up.
And then they're fine.
Yeah, and then they're her besties.
Floof. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then they save everybody.
Yeah.
Well,
luckily she does that because they end up coming to her rescue.
Yeah.
And then she gets hurt. So Fallon turns into like a
actual
god tier sized dragon
and
starts destroying the
and
town.
Burns everyone alive.
I'm definitely in a monster smut era. Like I have been, you know, when we talk at the end about what else we're reading, there's this whole series that's like, kind of like Ice Planets, but with orcs, but not Lord of the Rings orcs. we might have had this conversation. Hot orcs. We might have had this conversation on the pod already. Apologies for the redundancy. But so I'm all about that. I'm all about like the monsters.
Mm-hmm.
So when I find out that this fine ass shadow daddy with horns is also a dragon.
A dragon.
I'm like, yes.
And everyone really is terrified of him. Like, he was talking a big talk on the road, but you never know, like, is he really the most powerful demon out here?
Yeah, he's Smaug.
He is. He's Smaug.
We didn't even talk about him making up stories to get her to lay next to him by the fire.
Yeah.
He's like, what about the Hollow Man? Another great running joke.
Yeah.
She's like, the what? He's like,
the Hollow Man.
The Hungry Man.
Yeah. The Hungry Man. Yeah.
She's like, what? She goes over and lays next to him. He's like, yes.
Yeah. And he's this.
He's hilarious.
A couple tropes in this book. One of them is he loved her first.
Yeah.
Right. The other one is it is a little bit slow burny. Like,
Just a little bit.
Sometimes I'm like, oh my God.
Even though later
not
she's like,
wait. Can you just go? Can you just.
Even
you
though.
No, you want that man's.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Phylactery in your mouth.
In or around your mouth.
In or around. Next to your snack pocket.
Yeah.
The phylactery needs to be.
Yeah.
So why are we holding off?
But we get that line, that good line later where he's like, I figured you wouldn't be agreeable if I just came on like a puppy in heat. And she's like, oh no, I would have been. And he's like, are you fucking kidding me?
Damn it.
I held off. Oh, it's so petty though at the end of it when she's like all super hot and bothered for the first time. And he's like,
well, I better go out here and help these guys
survive. Better go win the battle. Sorry, lady.
It's fine. It doesn't go on long. If it went on any longer, I'd gotten mad, but it doesn't.
And the book's not even long enough for it to last that long, but it feels like a long time.
Because
they really don't have their first like really hot moment until probably like 3/4 through.
Yeah.
We get after
when he's like coming down from being a dragon.
During the process, I'm always annoyed by like the slow build up to it. But then when it's their love and connection and intimacy reaches fruition, I'm like, It was worth it. I'm glad I had that emotional development.
I like when she kills the crocodile. She's like, ooh, we're going to eat crocodile. She like swims out and kills it with a knife. And he's I love you.
That was like the mating bond like clicked into place. He's like, oh. She does stab a gator in the head and drag it up to the shore.
Yeah, and then creates like the best feast.
Yeah, because they live in like the bayou.
Yeah, which like a bayou. Yeah. It's very like Louisiana type.
Yeah, that's not like Middle Ages England, so I was appreciative. Like, oh, we live in a different biome? Thank you. So yes, I really like this.
Very much so. So does that mean that the city was like NOLA? It was like New Orleans?
Yeah, a little bit.
Maybe? Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah, I thought that was really great.
Freeing everybody.
Mm-hmm.
All the demons, who all turn out to be better than the people.
Yeah, most definitely.
Yeah.
They're just other creatures. And then like other animals. Like,
the two tavern people, Usha and the other guy, like the rival, because she has the happy hyena or whatever, the laughing hyena, and then the other guy has their like interplay where they're like trying to sell them while they're still on the wagon.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then they get to it and they're both already there and they're like, how did you get here? Weren't you just down there? Like, I liked Usha a lot. She's one of my favorite characters.
Yeah,
she
was Usha good. In the thing, but I don't care.
Usha.
I don't care. I just was like, Usha. Oh, Usha. Yeah, whatever.
Yeah. I've only seen it written.
Yeah.
I like when she's like, did y'all heard a date I've never, or something?
I've never heard. Yeah, like they have that like X energy.
Mm-hmm.
They're just so competitive or like just like physical, tangible like, sexual chemistry.
Yeah.
Like the tension is so hot.
Yeah.
Or, yeah.
Dick. And then she ends up becoming the pirate captain because they destroy half the town. And she's like, I found a boat.
You guys want to go? And then it's just like the boat of like the coolest demons ever.
Yeah.
Her friend Holly.
I hope Kate doesn't get mad because they are kind of piratey.
It didn't cross my mind.
Oh, sorry.
Because they all have magic. So they're magically cleaning themselves.
There you go.
The hygiene is okay because they're magic.
Yes. There you go.
Does that make sense?
Yes.
Yeah.
Versus just like
grimy.
The scurvy ship.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. And I liked Usha's.
That smells like balls, probably. Maybe. Well, pirates smell like balls in my mind, and I just can't with it. Yeah. They smell like schmegma. Yeah.
Thank you.
That's how. Now you'll never like pirates either.
I was not like a pirate shipper already anyway. So then Usha and Cinnamon. What, I used an appropriate term?
Yeah.
Okay, thank you. Mm-hmm. Usha is like, okay, Cinnamon, you're my like co-captain.
Yeah, you're my second
command. And she's like, no, I don't want that responsibility. She's like, nut up or shut up.
Yeah.
And Cinnamon's like, okay, fine.
Yeah.
And then she just becomes leader of the kitchen crew.
Yeah. So, I mean, she's definitely a reluctant hero the entire time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I love it when they describe like why certain characters are getting chosen for like the hero journey.
Yeah.
And it's basically because they're the like schmuckiest. They're the ones that are like.
They want a pastel pink sword.
A periwinkle.
Yeah.
They want a periwinkle sword. They want, you know, they just like the ego. Like, I am the winner. I am the most dangerous assassin with my periwinkle sword. I will save the day. Like the most likely to carry on her bullshit and not ask the right questions versus someone who is probably better suited for it, like Cinnamon.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Spicy ass bitch. Mm-hmm. Love her. I love her. She's wonderful.
So spicy.
Then they board the boat. It's like, can we board this? Can we raid this boat? And she's like, yeah, sure. Let's raid this boat. That's fine.
Yeah.
And they all surrender. And that's when we meet Dante, the storm dragon.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, they have a little bit of a fight.
Yeah.
Yeah, they do have to battle a little bit.
Yeah.
Because that was right when he tried to.
She was ready for his.
She was ready to go.
Yeah.
She was like, I'm going to be in pain if this doesn't happen. And I'm like, yeah, that's how I think it should have happened chapters ago.
In the Colosseum.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In the Colosseum. Yeah. Then
we meet Dante.
Dante. Another dragon who's way old.
She destroys another thing, right?
Yeah, because they've tied one in the guy's hair.
In his hair, which...
Wait, what?
Do dragons have hair?
Can you... Back up.
Maiva
what's the first horcrux? Okay, I know the first one is one in Boohale.
The second one is in
the city.
In the city.
And the third one is where?
On Dante.
His hair.
It's in Dante's hair.
Yeah.
So...
Because she tries hitting him with Cinnamon and it doesn't work. And it's because he literally has, like, Maiva tied to him. Maiva.
So who?
So Cinnamon climbs on him and breaks it off of his back. And that's how they all end up on the deserted island.
Right. Okay.
Where we get the like side of the river.
Right over my
sexy time scene.
Yes.
Because they go up to the waterfall.
And he's like, Oh, yeah. That's our first.
The waterfall. The waterfall.
Yeah. Yeah, that was our first. She
wakes up and he's like, enough of that. No more waiting.
Yeah. Oh, I didn't know what you were doing. I thought you were making the running gesture, but you were doing that. I'm carrying her. I was like, is that you over there running? Like, what is that?
No.
I wanted to talk a little bit about the language because I know typically you're not a fan of the C and the P word, but she uses that a lot in the way she writes her spice.
Yeah.
So I like that more because that is more realistic to me. That is the way that I have found people talk to each other.
Okay.
Versus the like florally fantasy language.
Right.
Like feast and sheath and shatter.
Right.
She's like, she's very like brunch language.
Yeah.
She's very overt. She talks, I think she writes her scenes like she would like text a partner. Like she would sex somebody.
Yeah.
What did you think of that? Were you okay with it? You were okay with it in this
book? It fits the tone of Cinnamon and the whole rest of the book.
Right.
It's not this like more higher tier, like what I'm expecting to have more flowery prose. And then I get fucking cunt and all the other ones.
And pussy and cock, yeah.
Yeah. It's like, it just fits in with, this is exactly what I'm expecting. So I gotten flowery language, it would have felt out of place.
Yes.
Yeah. And because Cinnamon is a very direct character.
Yes. She's not
want the thing,
around.
I get the thing.
Yes. Yeah. There's no shame around it. It's like, okay, we gotta go.
Yeah.
Like Bree. I love Bree when she's like looking at them back and forth and she's like, y'all are gonna do it.
Y'all are gonna do it.
Have you done this yet?
Have you
put his phylactery in your mouth yet? Because that's gonna happen.
Yeah.
So, come on.
Well, they get interrupted actually before she can.
Oh yeah.
Come to full mouth phylactery.
Yeah.
Fruition. Phylactery fruition. Because
they're like, look at
this.
Hannah makes the gesture, y'all. We'll take a picture and then, put it on the internet.
Then her merry band of pirates shows up and she's like, not fucking now. Damn it.
Leave. And Usha crests the hill and is like,
go back.
Retreat.
They're like, moment's gone.
Like
good feelings gone.
Like hiking through the forest. Like, get out of here, Usha.
They're like a search and rescue mission. And
yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're on like a, not just a deserted island, but like a tropical paradise. Like there's fruit lying all over on the ground. There's a fresh
waterfall. Is
that
where they go back to at the end? Yeah. Oh, okay, that makes sense.
And he builds her the Swiss Family Robinson
instantly.
Treehouse.
He builds her a beach house.
Yeah.
And love makes it. Her, he learned how to do a low country ball real quick.
Love that.
Yeah. Which I really want one now after reading this.
There's so many things I want after reading this book.
I really want to go to a boil.
Yeah, glad with the food representation in this. Like, I hate it when they pick at food or they lose their appetite.
No.
Or they don't. They're like,
eat. She was like, I'm not doing this shit without food.
Yeah.
And I respect that.
Yeah.
And that is why this book is more relatable.
Yeah.
She wasn't bullshitting around either. Like, I just, respected it a lot.
It was good.
Yeah. It was good. It was a really nice, simple, clean. We got everything you wanted in a nice linear. There was no point where I was like, we're belaboring this too long. Like, I'm here to.
What are we doing?
Belaboring.
Yeah, I just wanted you to repeat that word.
Thanks.
We're
reviewing it. You know, there was no point where I was like, move. You know, we're stuck.
Yeah.
It was
okay,
move.
Yeah,
move.
plot.
Yeah.
Which was nice. It worked for the book because you know the book's not very long. It's just such a cozy, like, closed off thing.
Fantasy adventure.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
With spice.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. I really like the series where each book is a different
couple.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
I really like those.
Because you get.
And there's a lot of them that do it that way. And
well, you get a repeat of favorite characters, but you don't have to watch them. Like, you're not watching married people
on. And that's just like what happened in Wings and Ruin.
Yeah.
Where you get tired. Like, once the relationship is bonded or mated or you're married, I no longer want to see. I don't want to be in the same room with you anymore.
Right.
I want to leave. Because I don't, it feels like too, I don't want to be in your.
It feels more voyeuristic at that point.
Yeah, in your space. Like, I don't need to see your war tent BJ.
No.
Right? So, yeah.
Hannah shrugs.
So, but like, if every one of your books is going to have a happy ending, then you kind of have to scoot along. But then they're still in your books.
Yeah.
The characters are still very present, which is really great.
Yeah. But you get a love story each time.
I love that. I really love when you don't have to have a wedding to be married.
Yeah.
And you just, he's like, I gave you my magic. You have my magic now.
I bit you.
Yeah. Yeah. Your magic is here. And then, like, she literally starts using his powers.
Yeah.
So the intimacy, I really loved that. The intimacy is not just a sexual connection. It's not just your best friends. It's not like you just really go together. It's actually you're going to share each other's magic.
Yeah.
You are a tiny, perfect little human. And you get his magic now. All of his shadow dragon powers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because he's the shadow dragon.
Yes.
Dante is the storm dragon because they are like epic level dragon. Like demons.
Yeah. Boss levels.
Yeah.
For sure. And they protect it's always nice to have a dragon on your side.
Yeah. Especially when they get to turn into giant fucking dragons.
Smaug.
Yeah. Not like little, but he doesn't have wings, I don't think. I think he's just like a serpent dragon. He's not
Wyvern-ass shit.
He's like a Chinese dragon. He doesn't have wings.
He's not a sky puppy.
He doesn't have wings?
I don't think so.
Oh, he's like one of the water dragons where they just kind of like...
Like a long...
Yeah.
That's how I pictured him anyway.
Huh.
Interesting. I pictured him as Smaug.
How's he flying?
Sexy Smaug.
Sexy Smaug.
I'm sorry, there's
T-shirt.
Just, there's so so many other dragons that are actually attractive. Like any of the dragons from Game of Thrones, which were actually wyverns. Or from, we could have called one out from that book. What's it called? Where's Iron Flame? That's the only one you're missing.
I don't have Iron Flame.
You don't?
No.
Oh,
I read it on Kindle.
Kindle. But... I think what is nice, it makes it a little bit harder to follow sometimes I lost my thought. Like, when it is a little bit plot driven, I find myself having a hard time understanding what's happening.
Yeah.
But that's also not what she's doing.
Right. I wasn't as concerned because to me, that wasn't what I was reading before. So I was like, okay, advancing the plot. Okay, and then we're back to balance.
So I did find myself being like, oh, I am having, like, if I had one criticism, it would be that it is a little bit hard for me to understand, like, exactly. It's like one line. It's like, yep, and now my horses have wings.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, Dante's hair, his scrunchie is broken. The Horcrux scrunchie is broken.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and she unmats his hair with a coconut. Like coconut oil.
Yeah.
Which was really sweet.
Yeah.
She had a comb in her snack pocket.
Yeah. All the essentials.
Yeah. Oh, and Fallon braids her hair. Like he redoes her braids for her.
And they use that as a connection. Yeah.
Yeah. And then I liked the kind of culmination at the end where we meet all the heroes and they're actually on the other side because she's now on the side with the demons.
Right.
And so she has to confront the people from her town who got sent off to be the chosen heroes.
Ex-boyfriend's there.
Yeah, interesting when the heroes
gets his
actually...
arms ripped off, I think.
Yeah, he does. Yeah. One arm.
One arm. Just
that's
one.
When we actually get to see an arm ripped off.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, he almost rips the arm off. That guy at the beginning who slaps her around.
Yeah, no, he doesn't do that. Because she's like, no, you can't just rip people's arms off. And he's like, I'm not understanding what you're saying.
What do you mean?
It does not compute.
What do you mean?
I don't understand. Yeah.
Yeah. She shoots a guy with an arrow, too.
Yeah, she does. And she kills a lady.
Yeah.
She shoots her in the gut.
Yeah.
She gone. Goner.
Yeah.
Snow turned red.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then Addison, what's the girl's name? That is the hero with the periwinkle sword.
Yeah. It's
something.
Yeah.
Whatever. It doesn't matter.
I didn't write it down.
Yeah. She was. Shouldn't matter. But they didn't believe her. They're like, I'm sorry. No.
Yeah.
She's our goddess.
She's a goddess and I'm a hero.
Yeah.
I'm in charge around here.
Very much that. Yeah.
I don't know what you're talking about because I'm a hero and shut up, Cinnamon.
Shut up.
And then we get just a little bit of shitty ex-boyfriend, just enough.
Until he gets his arm. And Fallon's like, nope, one arm gone. You will never have an arm again. Yeah.
I loved the arm thing. Yeah. We used that so much. Yeah. And I was just like, I love it every time.
Every time.
Every time. And we're all the way up in the frozen north where they all live. And that's why he doesn't know any, like, he's never tasted anything because they have, like, snow animals and that's it.
Mm-hmm. They have roasted meat. Maybe that's it.
With no seasoning.
Right.
And she's like, how have you lived your life?
Yeah, that's and you can't go back.
He loves her food so much.
I mean, I would love her food. I mean, everything she makes is, like, delicious.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know. That's probably my favorite part about this book, honestly, is the food representation.
Like, yeah.
I like how he calls them, what does he call them? Ocean spiders?
River spiders? Swamp spiders?
Swamp spiders. And then he eventually cooks her ocean spiders. He's like, I figured you cooked them the same. And she's like, yes.
Yeah. She wakes up to this delicious. He's like, I remembered how they smelled. So I got those seasonings. I guess she slept for a really long time. She was tuckered out.
Like 4 days or something.
Because she had to use powers as a little human.
Mm-hmm.
So does that make her have, since I hope, I don't think they name it, but I really, really hope that the magic sharing also gives her longevity of life.
Hopefully. Because it's cozy. I can't imagine it doesn't.
Yes. I was thinking about that a lot because because these stories are all about mating humans, like the lifespan. Like if you can live for hundreds and hundreds of years, you have to have your mate.
So much
love that, that reminds me of something else. Anyways, but And then they end up back on the island.
Yeah. And I like their negotiation where he's like, you're staying on the island forever because that's how the only way I can protect you. Mm-hmm. And she's like, bro, that's not realistic.
Yeah. No,
no, I can't have
why
that.
Why don't? And then she offers a solution.
Yes. Yeah. He's like, huh.
He's like, I'm a dumbass. Literally, he says that. I'm pretty dumb right now.
Yeah.
You're right. That is a great option.
I was like, thank you. Because that's one of the tropes that I see a lot in romance novels that I always find problematic is when the man becomes so protective, he actually takes away the woman's agency. Mm-hmm. And it's always framed as romantic.
And it's just, no, it's Edward Cullen-y.
Yeah. And it's not. And so when she was like, sorry, that's not going to work for me. I can't stay on this island forever. Like, we can stay here for 3 months.
We can have an extended honeymoon.
And then I want to go back to my life because I have a life and I have a family and I have a successful business.
And I respect,
and I want to go back
to
it.
And I like my life. Yeah. And I never wanted to leave because that's,
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, yeah. Actually, yeah. Okay. I'm okay with it.
Yeah.
Never, ever does he change lanes and think outside of the box until she does. But I think one of the sexiest things a man can ever do is listen and show interest in a woman's interests.
Hannah has fainted.
Because she loves a man that listens.
Yeah.
When a man shows
interest. I've never met one, so I don't know yet.
Like, I guess it's just such a bare minimum thing, but I'm like, oh, you like.
You listened when I talked?
You listened to what I talked about? You want to read the books that I like?
Listen. On TikTok, all these men, all these husbands and boyfriends that are reading
ACOTAR.
I just want to say, like, those women are so lucky.
I can't even believe it.
I don't even know what I would do.
I honestly can't even like it. I just swipe away.
Yeah.
Swipe away
it
with
makes
jealousy.
Me sick. Mm.
Yeah. A jealousy that isn't a hateful jealousy. It's just like, ugh! Get out of my face. That's the way I feel when we watch Matt and Rachel interact with each other, and you're just like, why is there
baited
so much
mates in the back?
Why is there so much respect in the room right now?
When are y'all gonna fight?
When is this gonna turn into a petty argument, and when is he gonna stomp his feet and run out?
Yeah.
You know?
And it just never happens.
And I'm just like, gosh, why? The room just feels like warm respect. Smells like vanilla warm cake in here. I think it's called compromise and respect. Yeah, I know. I see it all the time. I actually do get a little bit. I've had to like kind of really unpack how it makes me feel when I see men reading these books and loving them and talking about them, because it definitely feels like this is for me, not for you. And then I'm like, why do I feel that way? Why do I feel that way? You can have this too. You can have this too.
I think there's places where you feel like it's your space or it's a feminine space. Like, I know I've listened to podcasts. I listened to this one podcast called This Is Actually Happening.
I've listened to that.
And they talked to this guy who's been a hospice nurse. Like, the tag was this person had been a hospice nurse for like 30 years. And it was about their journey, like, with people who are experiencing death. And I was like, oh, okay, cool. I really want to listen to this. And as soon as I realized it was a man, I had to shut it off. I was like, nope, I can't listen to your perspective on this. And like, I was interested in the topic, but it felt to me that feels like a nurturing space. And anywhere that's a nurturing space to me feels feminine. And so when he was like, oh no, I know all about death, it felt like, oh great, a man is about to mansplain this to me, and I can't right now.
I know all about death.
Yeah.
Only a man would say that.
And on the flip coin of that, I do feel like in the last few years, we've really come to a place where, especially our age, right? Millennials, elder millennials, the way we grew up, because we didn't grow up in safe spaces, we didn't have language when we were young. We got language for things, me personally at least, maybe 5 to 10 years ago.
Right.
We all started having these collective conversations and naming what it is we were thinking and feeling. And I think that I'm still in the phase where, like, I do have a little bit of resentment because I'm still healing of how much this male gaze, male mansplaining, all that male stuff affected me and changed the way I felt about myself.
Yeah.
Because I never got to listen to the voices of women. So I'm still in the phase where, like, yes, I only really want to listen to women speaking.
Yeah.
I only really want their perspective on things right now.
Yeah.
But then I'm also very much aware that eventually I'm going to have to come back around and the pendulum is going to have to swing and I'm going to have to make room for male voices, and especially men who are doing the work. Like, you have a really wonderful husband. He is very aware. He walked in here today wearing a Knuff.
I am Knuff.
Yeah. Right? Like, Matt gets it. And there's a lot of people, men especially, really trying. So opening up thoughts. But I hear you on that. It is really hard. And I think that's where my this part of, like, TikTok is safe. It's my book safe space.
Yeah.
I can read about these things without any kind of, you know, but I do want them to also join the conversation.
Yeah.
As long as they don't say stupid ass shit.
It's because you don't fully trust them yet. You don't trust that they're not going to be like, and then,
this book is dumb.
Bring it.
And that's what this book is.
Bring it to you, and you don't want to. Yeah.
I don't understand. You're just reading fairy porn. Please don't call my books fairy porn. There's so much more to what's happening here.
Yeah.
I'm not going, you know, like, don't, like, what's the word when you make something small?
Minimize?
Don't minimize it. Don't reduct it.
Yeah.
Is that a word?
Reduce.
Don't reduce it to just fairy porn.
Yeah.
Because these books mean a lot more to me than that.
Yeah.
I think you should hit your microphone about it.
Yeah.
I have.
Yeah. It's like calling football a bunch of dudes in spandex running around trying to grab each other's balls.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, yeah. No one's
How do you feel now, football nerds?
Yeah. Fucking football assholes. Yeah. Exactly. There's really no difference.
There's no.
It's the same conversation where women, when they love something, there's something wrong with it. But when a man loves something, it's completely normal to be violent.
Yeah.
To be violent and emotional about your sports games.
Yeah.
But God forbid someone cry because Taylor Swift comes on the stage.
Correct.
People get on my nerves so bad.
Yeah. But this book is super. I'm glad we did this one. This was a really great shift.
Yeah, this was a nice
a good book hangover book.
Yeah. The next one's really good too, so if you haven't read the next one yet, you should be excited because it's just as good.
I actually like the second one better. I like their story. I like their connection. I like that one. I connected. I resonated with it a little bit more.
It's good, and the stakes are a little lower, but also there's stakes, so it feels good.
Yeah. What else are you guys reading?
Well, we read a book that isn't quite out yet. It comes out I think May 19th. So in a couple, or maybe, sorry, March 19th. So in a couple of weeks. But speaking about healthy men who've done the work, if you like that kind of thing, it's really good. It's a book called The Day Tripper, and it's by James Goodhand. And it's kind of sci-fi where there's a little bit of time travel. He's having like the perfect date. And
you've talked about this. I don't know where though.
And he gets in a fight and he ends up waking up like he gets into a coma. When he wakes up, it's been like 15 years and he's lost everything. Like he is in like a tenement. He doesn't have the girlfriend he was with. He's an alcoholic. He has nothing. Mm. And then he goes to sleep. And when he wakes up, it's been a further, like now it's 2019. And so he's actually living his life out of order. And every time he wakes up, it's like he has to figure out what happened to get him where he is.
Ooh.
And so it's kind of his journey of being forced to confront the way that he's living his life and like the expectations he has for himself is affecting like the path of his life. And he has to like confront his own toxicity. And it's really, really, really good. And I really, really, really enjoyed it. And Matt really enjoyed it. And it feels like a very... like this man having like a journey of realizing like the things that I do for other men. Why do I do that?
Yeah.
Why do I care?
When you say it's not out yet.
It's an ARC.
That's an advanced reader copy because we're fancy.
Because you got it through the thing, right?
Yeah. Somebody mailed me one.
That's so cool.
And it was, yeah. So I'm like, spread the word, like this was a really good book and I really enjoyed it. And it's a male writer, but it's a very like a guy who's done the work and he wants to show you a guy who's doing the work. And
can I read that?
Yeah. It was really good.
Yeah. I'll read it after you.
Is that okay?
Yeah. Okay. Just put a review up.
I will. Where are we putting reviews these days?
I put mine on Storygraph, but then we did an episode on it too.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
What else? Any shows?
Went and saw Dune 2 and it was really good.
You liked Dune 2? Yeah, I think I'm going to go see it tonight.
I did. For me, I don't know. I feel like it was good. It was great. It was fine. There are things that I focus on in the book that he didn't, but there's so much in the book that like that's okay.
It's never going to be.
It's not. And that's
okay.
Fine.
Yeah. Hannah, what about you? Anything else? You got anything else going on?
Kind of accidentally started ACOTAR again after Crescent City.
You literally tripped and fell. Nothing wrong with that.
And it fell off the shelf.
Yeah.
And it opened to the first page.
And I'm on book four. Yeah.
Yeah, now I'm on book four.
I thought about starting Throne of Glass again yesterday.
It just felt natural after the last Crescent City book. I wanted to go back into that lore.
Are you listening?
Yeah.
Okay. So, yeah, you want something on. You're listening again. Yeah. I totally... I've literally read it 5 times.
Yeah, I don't have to.
There's zero judgment.
I was not afraid to tell you. Yeah. I was more afraid to tell everyone seven else. Other people.
Our 7 listeners. Correct.
We have like 20 followers.
Our 20 friends.
Yeah.
So I've actually been reading a lot. I read Yellowface by R.F. Kuang.
Mm-hmm.
Is that who did The Poppy War?
And Babel.
Right.
Yeah.
Am I pronouncing that right?
I think it's Kuang. Yeah.
Kuang. I loved that. Then this third book came out in the series that I really, really like, and I hope that we get to do one day. And it starts off, the first book is Blood and Steel, and the second book I think is called Vows and Ruins, and then this book was called Fates and Furies. It's very much along the lines of romantic fantasy. The spice is good. No one closes the door. No blackouts. Like, we're there with them. Mm-hmm. Really like the male main character. I like that. I think it's by Helen Schreuer. It's Helen something.
Yeah.
It's all on Kindle Unlimited. I really, really enjoy it. Like, the moment the fourth book comes out, it'll finish the series. It's super good. I've liked it a lot. And then my orc books... And I think that's it. I also watched the show that I got. Did your mom finish it?
I don't know if she's finished yet, but she got pretty like deep into it.
I watched the show called One Day on Netflix. I have never seen something so sad in my whole life.
Oh, I'm out.
Yeah.
She literally texted me and said, tell your mom to watch this. you do not watch it. I said, got it. I texted, I went, Mom, watch this. Kate says you can watch it, but I cannot. She said, okay, I'll start it tonight. She goes home. She's like at least halfway through. And she's like, tell Kate, I'm absolutely obsessed. This is perfect.
I knew that Hannah's mom watches TV like I do. Like, she will polish off a show. Yeah. And I wanted to tell somebody to watch it, but I don't know who I would tell to watch that because I don't want my mom friends watching it.
Right.
Because also, let me not speak for all moms either, but I just don't think you need to be experiencing a sadness on that level.
No. I don't like to be
is
that
it
sad.
True? I've heard this. Tell me if this is true. When you have kids, your, like, tolerance for... I mean, this is just like a great romance story, but it's still so emotionally, like, almost traumatic in a way. Like, you know it's not real, but you're still there for it,
mm-hmm.
right? Like, at the end of it, you're not – I had to ugly cry.
Yeah.
And I haven't ugly cried from a television show, and I can't remember – I cannot remember another time where I've cried as hard as I cried in that show. I thought it was great, and, like, I want people to have that experience, but I'm also like...
Did you watch Afterlife with Ricky Gervais?
I watched part of it.
Nope.
What is there, like, 3-4 seasons?
Is it over?
Netflix? It's over.
Is it concluded?
It's concluded.
Wrapped up?
It's completely wrapped
up. Full story?
Full story.
Okay, maybe I'll check it out.
Yeah, I think there's 3 or 4 seasons, and I ugly cried at the end, but it was like a healing cry.
Cathartic.
It wasn't like, this is so sad, I can't take it. It was like, this is so good.
Okay, yeah, this one was sad. I wasn't expecting it. I didn't know anything about the story. And there was a movie done earlier in the 2000s, and I didn't know.
Yeah, because when I Googled it, after you told me that the movie came up first, it was like 2011 when the movie came out.
Yeah, with Anne Hathaway, and mm-hmm. I didn't know. And now I'm like, oh my God.
So are you like feeling down now?
Is that the one where she has Parkinson's?
No.
Okay.
No, I know the one you're talking about.
Yeah, it's the one you're talking about too.
No, it's not. I'm not feeling down. I'm just like, I can't stop going back to it. I can't stop thinking about it. It just is sitting with me, which I think is okay. I mean, the things that happen in it happen in real life. And there were definitely some, you know, stories like that should be told.
Yeah.
And I'm grateful that I got to experience it. I think it's one of the best shows Netflix has done in a really long time. I don't know if Netflix... Did anybody watch The Last Airbender?
No, I don't have Netflix anymore.
Do you want mine?
No. We can't share it anymore.
You can't do that.
Oh, really? Uh-uh. Is that why it costs $25 fucking dollars?
Yeah, it's tied to your Wi-Fi now.
Wow. Okay. Well, it was all right. I liked it. I liked it a lot, but I'm not a cartoon anyways.
I know Matt really likes the cartoon, but it takes me so long to watch new shows. I have to, like...
I know. Which is why I wasn't like, Rachel, watch the show.
Yeah.
Also, I'm scared of... Sad. I'm scared of...
I don't like
your avoidance. Wait, what's it called? Demand avoidance. I'm scared of Rachel's demand avoidance. So I feel
D-O.
Like, yeah. Wait, no, it's called something else.
Pathological demand avoidance.
It's PDA.
Yeah,
yeah.
I think I'm pretty good about that. I read all those books.
I know you did. You did so good. Yeah, you did so good. But I also feel like I have to like sideways step around things.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Don't apologize for who you are. Very aware of it, though.
It's not that I don't want to watch it. I will eventually. Like you've given me a couple show recommendations, and it just takes me a while to.
Well,
get to
and
them.
Also I just think about like y'all's schedules. Mm-hmm. You know, I have time on my hands.
And
I have
we're
freedom
almost done with Forever Night, and then I'll have more time.
How's that feeling?
Good.
Are you sad to wrap it up?
I am.
It's kind of like your podcast is going to come to an end.
I am because in season 3 it gets canceled after episode 10, and then there's a further 12 episodes. And the last 12 episodes are like the most brutal episodes of the entire show.
Like bad?
No, they're like really good. Like they have one where we talk about like the AIDS epidemic in the 90s. And then we have one where we talk about like domestic abuse and the nature of guilt. And it's really like the gloves are off for the last 12. Mm. And it gets really like heavy. And then it doesn't get light again.
Oh.
And so it's just hard because I know where we're going.
Yeah.
And it's like the most scorched earth season finale I've ever seen in my entire life. So
interesting.
Yeah.
Well, I did ask a question earlier and then kept talking and then let you guys answer it. So let me revisit that question. Did you guys find that when you became mothers, your like tolerance for certain types of content shifted?
Well, we know that when you're a parent, it actually turns on your amygdala. Like there's a part of your brain that lights up differently once you're a parent. And it actually doesn't happen for every parent. So literally you have to choose to be a parent. And once you make the choice to be the parent for your children,
wow,
it turns on. And that's why, like, when you have a baby, the joke about, like, the mom wakes up every time the baby cries and the dad sleeps right through it. Because, like,
that's real.
When you're a mom and you choose to be a parent, like, you literally every time your baby cries, it's like, what? Yes, I'm here. What? And it's literally like a hair trigger, fight or flight thing.
Mm-hmm.
So it's supposed to make you more aware of danger.
Do men get that just later on?
They can get it. Like if you have, if you have two male parents, one of them or both of them will have that.
Right.
It's not feminine specific. It's literally the individual choice to take mm-hmm. responsibility for your child turns it on. Which I think is fascinating.
That is super fascinating.
Because like Matt was the one that got up at night. I could wake up and he would wake up and he's always the one that got the baby. So like.
Because he was actively choosing to parent.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't think that boomer parents chose that.
Right.
Not all of them.
No.
Most of them. I'm sorry. Whenever I make a statement, I never mean all.
Yeah. Just all the parents in this room. I'm just kidding.
No. So yeah, it literally does make you more sensitive to like trauma and danger and.
Okay. That makes so much sense. So it's literally like almost a neurological response.
Yeah, they call it like second adolescence or whatever. You literally go through a different, like you go through like a biological change.
Wow.
I'm going to tell my ex-husband this so he can stop bullying me for how I change so much.
And it can happen to adoptive parents too. Like it doesn't have to come out your vag for that to work. Yeah. It's literally like the choice.
I mean, anybody can be mm-hmm. a parent.
Right.
Like you can choose to love a child and take care of it.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Interesting. Yeah.
I don't like a lot of scary stuff.
That's what I've heard, that really you can go from liking scary mm-hmm. to not being like being scared anymore.
Yeah.
I don't enjoy being scared either. Like it has to be like the daytime. I'll watch a scary movie during the day.
Yeah.
I don't enjoy that feeling because I'm an anxious person. Like
I don't like tragedy. I'll watch scary stuff, but I don't like tragedy.
I do not do tragedy.
Okay, well,
sometimes
do not watch this show. That is why I that's what
you
would said. Never.
You do
I don't
not.
like sad tragedy. Like I don't mind a happy tragic ending. Like I love the movie Big Fish, and I will ugly cry at Big Fish every time I watch it. But I like it.
Mm. I don't remember how that movie ends.
It's a good movie. It's got Ewan McGregor. It's the one where his dad is a storyteller and his dad tells stories about his life. And he's like, Dad, I just want the truth. And he's like, I am telling you the truth. And it's because his dad always romanticized his life.
Right.
And so he goes on a quest to figure out the real truth. And he finds out that, yeah, basically it is true. He's just made it into this epic story. And so then his dad is dying in the hospital. And he's like, this isn't how I die. Tell me the story of how I die. And so he makes up this story that like ties in all of the stories that his dad told throughout his whole life of like how he has this, like, I can't talk about it anymore.
Yeah, please stop.
So I've got chills. It's a really beautiful ending. And it's a beautiful ending to that story. And it's the same in the book. He does the same thing in the book. Yeah.
I am so curious about how you were about to cry and you stopped yourself. I would just keep rolling on. But not so, I would just cry and keep moving on. But yeah. I understand.
Yeah. It's good. It's a good story.
Yeah. Scorpio doesn't want to share its feelings. Well, share its feelings. Share your feelings. The Scorpio in the room doesn't want to share its feelings.
Well, I told you it makes me cry.
No, I know.
I don't need to like ugly cry on the
on the podcast. That's called vulnerability. We welcome it here.
That is your job, Kate. We're going to leave that to you.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okie dokie.
You're the crier here.
Yeah, that's true.
I noticed that you have a Girl with the Dragon Tattoo.
I do, because you recommended it and I saw it and so I picked it up.
You like those?
I love those. They're dark. Books. They're super dark.
They're really dark.
But they're super powerful to me.
Yeah. No, I mean, I, a lot of people, like, yes, people love those books.
She is
the bad bitch.
She's a bad bitch. She's never a victim. Never. Mm-hmm. And
then I'll probably like it.
I love her. Smart.
Yeah, she's
very
like
smart.
Liam Neeson's character, where she's like the smartest person in the room at all times.
Mm-hmm.
And she is always a couple steps ahead. So
should we wrap it up here? So it's since we stopped talking about it a while ago.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's fine. But we have one more thing to talk about.
Okay.
2 days ago, someone captured a photo of two lovely women having coffee together in a New York coffee shop. And it just so happened to be the executive producer of one of the best movies of 2023,
mm-hmm.
had the best commentary on being a woman.
Yes.
Could not pick a better person. It was Margot Robbie having fucking coffee
with
Sarah Janet fucking Mass.
Which I think is the exact text you sent us.
That is.
Yeah.
Including all the fucking in the middle. Yeah.
Yeah. That's how I was saying
Sarah
it.
Sarah
fucking Janet.
Yeah. They and... I saw so much conversation online about who Margot Robbie would... Sorry, I didn't mean to be mocking tone. About who Margot would play. I'm like, no. Margot, the importance of that convo is not about Margot being in those shows. It's about Margot getting them made.
Yeah.
It's about... I have heard Margot. Margot is a fangirl. She is a fantasy girl.
She is.
She's a Lord of the Rings girl. She's a Lord of the Rings woman. She is a Harry Potter woman. She loves fantasy. Mm-hmm. Like, reads books. One of us. Sorry.
One of us.
She's one of us. What is that from?
I don't know. What is that from?
I don't remember.
One of us.
That
yeah.
is from
I don't
something.
Know. So... That to me, that's the power. It's they are having conversations about how to get it done,
yeah.
how to get it made. I don't, it's literally like after having ACOTAR paused, Hulu saying, like, it's probably not going to be us.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing is more. The only thing that it makes me think is Margot might be thinking these are going to be films when they might should be shows.
Yeah.
Mm hmm.
Right.
It could be a TV show. Margot could be in a TV show.
Well, and she could produce a TV show. I don't need her to be in it.
Yeah.
And I think she's even said she thinks she's doing that thing where she thinks that people saw too much of her oversaturation. She doesn't want it to be overly saturated. So she's talked about being more on the creative side for a little bit. I just, if there was one woman who has the power and the backup and the reputation to make a fantasy story happen, that's like, it's literally like my dreams coming true.
Yeah.
And mm-hmm. did we share the story on the podcast about how when you told me who was going to play Murderbot, I like fell on the floor?
Yeah. And they've cast two more people.
Who else have they cast?
I don't know either one of them, but they both look like exactly who they should have been.
You really?
Like they cast Mensa and she's like a beautiful black woman. And
right.
I'm like, fucking thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and that's the thing. I don't need Margot to be Aelin. I don't need Margot to be more. I don't need Margot to be anybody.
No.
I will say this, though. Because ACOTAR, I need it to be an adult series.
Yeah.
Yes. A series for adults. Game of Thrones for women.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Or just people who like, an audience that likes these stories. They don't have to be women.
Right.
Sorry. But I would really like to see these characters aged up a little bit.
Yeah,
you don't have to be. You don't have to start with teenagers. You can be mid 20s.
We have a good track record of people doing that.
Yeah.
Like they did that for Dune, because in Dune, Paul's 15,
right?
And by the time he takes over the planet, he's 17,
right?
And I'm so glad that every time we adapt him, he's like
older, an adult.
Yeah,
yeah,
like late teens to early 20s.
Yes, we need. I need these characters to be anyways, I've never had more faith in a producer and someone to see. It's like, I just think that this could be, if she does it well, taking these universes and bringing them to life. I mean, to me, it's like it could be George Lucas level. You know what I mean? It could be like Spielberg level.
Yeah.
It could be the right person who understands what it is about these books that are so accessible and have like touched so many people. It just needs the right creator. It needs the right person to bring the money. And
she would be great.
I just knew. I was like, it's happening. It's happening. It's happening.
Hopefully.
Even if they're just having a conversation, just Margot's touch on it will be enough.
Then my sister's like, no, they've not made any announcements. There is nothing.
Well, it doesn't have to be an announcement. They're talking about it.
In the public place.
And it could be Margot being like, I love these books. Can we get together and talk about?
I mean, it could
Hofas. Can we get together and talk about Hofas?
Hofas.
Can we get together, Sarah? Now, was your heart in this book,
Sarah?
Anyway, so I haven't felt so much. Just like I can relax. Like, you know, I can just let it go now.
Wow.
Because I know, like, I'm going to let them, and I know that it's going to do, even if it takes 5 years.
What if we wait until it's official to let it go?
No, I know.
You're ready.
I have good.
You're ready now.
I know she's the right.
Your spidey sense.
I could not have picked a better person in every single time.
No, I'm not saying that she's not. Okay. She's perfect. She's perfect, but they could have just been having coffee.
Yeah, okay.
And we need to go now.
Okay, bye.
Until next time, friends.
Bye.
Damn, way to ruin it.
Is it hot in here or is it just me? Tuning in to hear these three chatting about fantasy novels of the spicy variety. Not your average book club if you know. Is that a dagger? It's feast, sheep.